that would suggest that they have been taken away for their own safety. But that is what we're seeing coming in. We have had no response to our requests for comment from Nigeria's military about why this happened, where these women, girls, and children are, and what is happening to them.
Michelle, thanks very much.
You're most welcome.
Michelle Fall is Nigeria Bureau Chief for the AP. She spoke with us from Lagos. And this is NPR News.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Supporters of President Barack Obama's trade agenda are scrambling to keep Senate foes from killing it today before a full-blown debate even begins. They need 60 votes in the 100-member Senate to keep a mostly Democratic-driven filibuster from blocking further action. Senate critics are attacking the fast-track trade bill from many sides. Some demand crackdowns on countries that make their exports more affordable by keeping the currency artificially low. Others insist that Congress first deal with pending expirations of a domestic surveillance program and the Export-Import Bank. The House Agriculture Committee voted 38-6 yesterday to repeal country of origin labeling for some meats. The bill is written in reaction to a ruling by the World Trade Organization earlier this week that U.S. country of origin labeling programs for beef and pork violated U.S. trade obligations with Canada and Mexico. The legislation is not likely to move to the full House until at least June. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending May the 21st. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 2.7, next year, 4.7. Corn this year, 32.0, next year, 3.2. And soybeans this year, 6.1, and next year, 2.8. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 18,237. It's down 19 points. The NASDAQ, 4,496, down almost 9. And the S&P 500 is 2,120, and it is down 2 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. We have another good day underway across the Midwest. One of the few that are left, I think, it's going to be trending a little bit wetter, especially next week. We do have a few good days still left, though, in the eastern Midwest. We have a little bit of shower activity across a small part of Indiana at this hour, but a lot of cloudiness across the lower parts of the Midwest. Northern areas are seeing mostly fair to partly cloudy conditions. The winds are light out of the west, and the temperatures in most of the Midwest at this hour running primarily in the middle 40s through the lower 50s. As I mentioned before, conditions will be deteriorating as we move further out in time, but not so quickly in the eastern Midwest. We still have a few days of good weather slated for that region, and we're talking mostly east of the Mississippi River. The earliest rain that will come back into any part of the Corn Belt will likely occur as we go from Friday night into Saturday morning. During that time period, showers and thunderstorms will return to Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri. Those storms will stay mostly west of the Mississippi all the way through the day on Saturday, but starting on Sunday, we'll start seeing some showers creep across the river and into Illinois and parts of Wisconsin. Eventually, that precipitation will march across the heart of the eastern Midwest, but as that occurs, we'll see somewhat improved weather in the western Corn Belt. Up until that point in time, daily showers and thunderstorms will have been occurring in hard red winter wheat country as well as the western Corn Belt, and quite a few areas will have received another significant amount of rain. For the eastern Midwest, the wettest conditions will occur Monday into Friday of next week. During that time period, a near daily occurrence of showers and thunderstorms will be possible. Some of the precipitation may actually linger a little bit into that following weekend. So conditions, as I stated before, will be deteriorating as time moves along. But a good opportunity for some additional farming activity will certainly take place from now through the holiday weekend, and that will be a very welcome thing. For the hard red winter wheat country, there's still a great deal of concern about the condition of the wheat itself, with too much moisture already have fallen across the region and will continue to fall. We do expect to see the wetter bias prevail for a good part of the next 10 days. Some of the soft wheat in the Midwest will also become subjected to a potential decline in condition because of wet weather diseases maybe next week. We're going to be watching that rather closely as well. Too much moisture at this time of the year can hurt that crop, and certainly if we keep it wet going into the harvest season, it could be a whole other issue. So we're going to continue to watch wheat conditions rather closely. In contrast to these conditions in the Midwest, there's actually a part of North America that is way too dry, and that's actually in the Canadian prairies. A lot of their small grains, as well as canola and a number of other crops that are produced up there, are suffering from lack of moisture. It's been weeks since a good rain has occurred in some of that region. It's been kind of cold up there, too. Some crop damage has occurred, and we've seen some replanting needs develop this week because of the losses that occurred from the bitter cold conditions. Well, there's not going to be anything like that in our region. Most of the Midwest will continue to experience a relatively fine temperature regime after we get behind the next couple of cool days. We'll expect the high temperatures across the region this afternoon, limited to the 60s and a few lower 70s. There may also be a couple of upper 50s out there, so kind of a nippy day. We'll look for the temperatures tomorrow, mostly 60s and 70s, and as we move on out into Saturdays, probably similar conditions, but starting early next week, we'll start seeing a little bit more normal weather. With the rain, unfortunately, it'll be kind of difficult for us to experience all of the benefits from the warmth, but we'll see 70 and 80-degree temperatures occurring on a daily basis through most of the work week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat is 554 and a quarter, up 9 1/4. July, the soft variety, 520, up 7. July corn, 362 and a half, up 2 1/2. September, 369, up 2 1/4. December, 379 and a half, up 2 1/4. July beans, 939 and 3/4, down 1 1/2. September, 921, up 1/4. November, 918 and 3/4, down 1. July soybean meal, 303.70, down 80. July soybean oil, 32.37, up 17. June live cattle, 152.27 1/2, up 92 1/2. May feeders, 219.97 1/2, up 25. And June lean hogs, 82.05, and they are down 50. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
Let's begin on the corn side and export sales, because after a rather thin week last week, corn exports have rebounded somewhat this week.
Yeah, they looked good, and interestingly, Japan took about half of that old crop bookings of 32 million bushel. The thing we're really talking about here is not so much the exports on the corn side, but El Nino, and that's just been trumping all else at this time of year, talk about weather, and we're seeing a little short covering probably going into this three-day weekend.
What do you make of the consolidation phase, and does it last next week?
Well, it all depends on how wet this Midwest is and the Mid-South is, but we've been in a trading range, and we're about a dime off those highs, and we're just kind of struggling here. If December corn can get back and close for the week, say above 384, we'd sure be prompting more short covering next week, I would think.
Let's turn your attention to soybeans, which has ground lower this week.
Yeah, they sure have. We made new contract lows in the new crop beans on ideas that the acreage would be expanding. Old crop beans seem to be holding together, and part of that, I think, is reflective of cheap ocean freight that will continue to sail beans around the world. Total bookings of beans now are above expectations for USDA for the total year of shipments at 1.8 billion bushel.
But the bottom line, too many beans still around, yes?
There's a lot of beans still around. Not a lot of old crop beans in the U.S., but there's plenty of beans in the world.
Turn your attention to the wheat market, please.
I think the story on wheat is that the quality on the soft red winter wheat had deteriorated a month ago, and now the quality on hard red winter wheat is deteriorating. Don't forget, then, that can be used for feed rather than milling. But the export bookings still showed some old crop wheat, and that has to be shipped here in the next week. And new crop wheat sales, pretty low.
Are we seeing intermarketing spreading because traders are still a little bit unsure whether it's quality versus quantity?
I think we're seeing some spreading because the darling spread had been long the beans and short the wheat for so long. And we're unwinding those.
Turn your attention then to the livestock.
Livestock, there's a couple of things I think that are important on the cattle side. First is that the feeder cattle, the May feeder cattle expire today. The repeal of COOL looks extremely likely. You started off with a story about the House Ag Committee there. And the third thing is that we've got a cattle on feed report that people think that the April placements on cattle into feedlots was probably a hair better than it's been the last couple of months.
Thank you much, Alan. That's Alan Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Let's update the market for you. July corn, 362 and three quarters, up 2 3/4. September, 369 and a quarter, up 2.5. December, 380, up 2 3/4. July beans, 941, down a quarter. September, 921 and a quarter, up 3/4. November, 919 and a half, down a quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It is now 901 Central Time.